Actually, it's still staying high. Wow. So I expect this one to be really hot.
You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Good evening. A Seattle nuclear watchdog group is accusing the federal government of failing to keep the public informed of radiation from the Fukushima nuclear disaster.
As environmental specialist Gary Chittum reports, the government has come out swinging on this one. The story is new at 6:30.
In the days following the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, the U.S. began monitoring radiation from the leaking nuclear power plants. Most of the public attention went to the air monitoring, which showed little or no radiation coming our way. But things were different on the rainwater side.
The level that was detected on March 24th was 41 times the drinking water standard in Olympia.
Jerry Paulette of the watchdog group Heart of America Northwest is reviewing radioactive iodine-131 numbers released by the Environmental Protection Agency last spring.
Our government said no health level standards are being exceeded, when in fact the rainwater in the Northwest was reaching levels 130 times the drinking water standard.
Elevated rainwater samples were collected in Portland, Olympia, and Boise, which had the highest.
I've got some lemon cucumbers, snap peas, basil. Gotta have fresh vegetables out of the garden.
The same water fell on Kate Costanet's garden and was collected in her rain barrel. She did not know about the elevated levels.
Certainly not use this for the vegetable garden. In fact, I probably wouldn't have even planted a vegetable garden if I'd known that.
But EPA officials say the data was there for anyone to read on their website, and a spokesman sent us this statement. Since iodine-131 has a very short half-life of approximately 8 days, the levels seen in rainwater were expected to be relatively short in duration. State health agencies added they constantly monitored public drinking water sources and never found levels even approaching the unhealthy range. And even the watchdog group admits watering plants with water exposed only briefly to those levels is unlikely to cause health problems. But they say that's information the public deserves to know. In Seattle, Gary Chittum, King 5 News.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meter. Nuclear power.
After the Japanese reactor disaster, the radiation cloud reached the United States, and there was radioactive elements, particularly iodine and cesium, in the rain, which reached the northwest states of the United States. United States agencies said they were monitoring and had increased monitoring, but there was not a significant increase in the monitoring in some states whatsoever. And what we documented is that the levels of radioactive iodine in the air, and in the rainwater in particular, were 130 times the drinking water standard set in the United States. The United States government sets a drinking water standard that is based on assuming that one additional fatal cancer in adults for every 10,000 people exposed is acceptable. And the iodine level in the rain in Idaho, in the United States, was 130 times that standard. And for long-term effects, we're very concerned that radioactive cesium was many times above the standard as well. And cesium has a very long half-life compared to iodine. Iodine will disappear in 80 days, but the cesium will be around for 300 years. And so it concentrates in food, and we are asking the government to continue monitoring food that may concentrate it. The United States government insisted, oh, there's nothing to worry about from this nuclear disaster. And state government said there are no health levels that were exceeded. But in fact, the drinking water standard was exceeded by 130 times. And people need to understand this is a standard that was set to protect them, not to be ignored.
Stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The next thing you have to do is you have to throw as much money as the world has at sealing those reactors. If you have to mine underneath them and put concrete bases and then put a dome over the top of them, and if it costs $1 trillion, then it has to be done.
Right.
Because this stuff's coming out all the time, and it's going to slowly make the whole of North Japan into a radioactive wasteland, like Mad Max or some horror movie from the future. But not only that, it's going to get all around the globe. We picked up plutonium in England, there's plutonium in Hawaii, there's plutonium in Guam, there's plutonium in the western part of the United States. So this is a global problem, and it needs a global solution. So it's not enough to say, oh, well, it's the Japanese people's problem, you know, the tough luck and all the rest of it. It's got to be sorted out very quickly, because huge amounts of these radionuclides are coming out of those reactors every minute, and nothing is stopping them. So there was one other thing that has to be. You have to monitor the air concentration of these substances. So there has to be a ring. Just in the United Kingdom we have, but nuclear sites, we put a ring of monitors around them. The government at the moment is not publishing the concentrations of a whole range of radionuclides, which are extremely serious. Mm-hmm. All they do is they go around there and they measure cesium. Strontium-90, right. Tritium, plutonium, uranium. Uranium, mm-hmm. that we now know to be one of the most serious genotoxic elements, yes. you know, in this form of particles that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. In this study that I did in Fallujah, we found uranium in the hair of the parents mm-hmm. of the children, and we found enormous levels of congenital malformation, huge levels of cancer mm-hmm. as a result of exposure to uranium. It's a nightmare.
At first I thought I knew what I was doing. Then I found out I was wrong. In spite of what I thought was right, the world has shown me otherwise. So I had to write my little song. For, you see, I always thought the word was nuclear. As in nuclear power, nuclear generation. But now I find the word is really nuclear. Nuclear. Nuclear is the proper pronunciation. Yes, it's nuclear. Nuclear. N-U-K-U-L-A-R. Say it and you'll quickly come to love it. Nuclear. Nuclear. Join the rest of America. Show the world we're stupid and proud of it.
And it's interesting, nuclear power was discovered, well, radiation was discovered about 110 years ago. Nuclear power itself was about 80 years ago. And it's the least efficient way of making electricity through steam. Nuclear has the lowest efficiency in converting the power into electricity of all these things. So the newest technology is actually the worst as far as the thermodynamic effects. What that means is it pumps out about 40% more heat per kilowatt into the river. So Vermont Yankee, if Vermont Yankee was a coal plant, there are other issues, but as far as the heat goes, the heat from that plant would be much less than the heat from Vermont Yankee because of this inefficiency in the nuclear plant.
Now I said with no fear, though how the pronunciation went from nuclear to nuclear, still remains uncular. Okay, I guess I'm being nasty, being ugly, only getting uglier. But with the dumbing down of America today, I feel the urge to go right for the jugglier. Yes, it's nuclear, nuclear. That's the way you say it. Any other way is just too taxing. Nuclear, nuclear. Rolls right off the tongue. With nuclear, the uvula's relaxing. Yes, it's nuclear, nuclear. N-U-K-U-L-A-R. Say it, and you'll quickly come to love it. Nuclear, nuclear. Join the rest of America. Show the world we're stupid. I mean, really, really stupid. Show the world we're stupid and proud of it.
Albert Einstein had it right. He said nuclear power is one hell of a way to boil water.
I think it's probably fair to say that most Americans learn about nuclear energy from The Simpsons.
Excellent.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
I remember when I first learned about routine releases. I was walking toward a public meeting at the Callaway nuclear plant, under construction at the time in Missouri, alongside a farmer from Kansas who was fighting the proposed Wolf Creek plant near his farm. He told me there would be a vent in the reactor building and that radioactive gases would be released to the atmosphere through the vent. I had known that the walls, roof, and foundation of the reactor building were to be built of thick concrete, reinforced with steel bars, and assumed that they were designed to completely seal the radioactivity inside. However, I found out the farmer was right. the reactor building does have a vent. I had often read that a core meltdown plus a break in the containment building would let radioactive gas into the atmosphere. What I had not known is that the building comes with a break in it. That is, a vent for the release of gases, including radioactive gases. In fact, nuclear power plants cannot operate without regular, deliberate releases of radioactive water and gases. The releases from the reactor building are needed to control the pressure, temperature, and humidity, and to keep radioactivity from exceeding government limits for workers. The vents have filters that stop some of the radioactive gases from being released. However, no filtering technology exists for some gases, like xenon-135, which decays into cesium-135, an isotope with a 2-million-year half-life. Certain gaseous and liquid wastes leak or are intentionally removed from the reactor vessel or the steam generators or the irradiated fuel pool during a plant's routine operation. When these waste products are present in concentrations below the alarm set point of the radioactive waste system, the waste can be released to the river or other cooling water source without detection and therefore without reporting. So no one really knows how much is released. Noble gases, tritium, and other fission and activation products can be released to the atmosphere. Tritiated water, dissolved or entrained noble gases, and other wastes can also be released to the river. I remember being amused when I learned that certain fission gases, like xenon and krypton, are called noble gases because they don't mingle with or form compounds with the hoi polloi. Therefore, while radioactive gas is accidentally or intentionally released to the atmosphere from a plant building, are routed through high-efficiency particulate absolute or HEPA filters before being discharged to the ventilation stacks, noble gases can just pass right through the filters. Tritium, or radioactive hydrogen, can too. A vent is located not only in the domed roof of the reactor containment building, but also in the auxiliary building, the radioactive waste building, and the turbine building.
There has been an accident in Red Sector L14. Do not abandon your post. There is no danger of radiation leakage.
Repeat. There has been an accident in Red Sector L14. Do not abandon your post. There is no danger of radiation leakage.
There's a problem with the reactor? We're all gonna die! Ah! Oh, run!
To boil water, but you chose the stupidest one. To turn your back on the timeless wind, the water and the sun. Blinded by your science and the chance to make a buck, you wouldn't listen, chose nuclear fission.
Sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
Now, you all know the National Academy of Sciences came out with its 7th report on the biological effects of ionizing radiation. They do this every 10 or 15 years. And this one got a fair amount of coverage for a rather extraordinary finding, which was not extraordinary at all. That was that the National Academy concluded that all doses of radiation are dangerous. There is no threshold. There is not an amount of radiation which is safe. That greater amounts of radiation cause greater risk of cancer. Smaller amounts of radiation produce lower risks of cancer. But there is no safe amount. This was an important finding because there are some people at the extreme wing of the radiation community, deeply tied in with the nuclear industry, who have been arguing that there is a threshold, and some of whom have been arguing a theory called hormesis, which is that, in fact, low doses of radiation are good for you. And the Academy has now made crystal clear that the arguments that low doses are good for you are, frankly, nutty. The arguments that there is a level of radiation below which there is no harm is similarly not founded, and that all doses are harmful.
Well, a lot of these nuclear scientists are into denying that radiation is a problem or trying to minimize the consequences of radioactivity, they actually have the nerve to claim that radiation is good for you. And they have this theory, it's called radiation hormesis, and they claim that that radioactivity exercises the immune system, and it's a healthy thing for people. Essentially, what they're doing is promoting, pushing their technology with this incredible lie. I think what is happening in terms of, well, the Fukushima Daiichi disaster and the minimization and the denial by Japanese authorities and the International Atomic Energy Agency about the consequences of the radioactivity from Fukushima impacting on Japan. In fact, it's impacting all over the world. And now these characters, the hormesis gang, in fact, there was supposed to be a speaker before it's a citizens advisory board at the Savannah River, and he planned to tell this advisory board that don't worry about the radiation from Fukushima. The Japanese shouldn't worry about the radiation from Fukushima. In fact, he wrote a little newspaper article saying even the workers who have been exposed to these enormous amounts of radioactivity there, there'll be no health consequences. Why? Because of radiation hormesis.
Oh, we don't need nuclear power. Rather live next door to wind towers. Money's pollution is not the solution. Keep uranium in the ground. Keep it out of the air and our water. Keep it out of our sons and our daughters. And their grandkids too. And their grandkids too. Wind and solar will do, thank you. Wind and solar will do, thank you. Our families are thanking us for raising such a ruckus. They know that profits and work are meaningless perks if you're glowing in the dark.
Now, uranium exposure causes many, many illnesses and conditions. I refer to a paper by Kraft and her colleagues and the French EnviroHome report of 2004. It gives you kidney accumulation and damage, brain accumulation, neurocognitive effects, cholinergic effects, cancer, chromosome aberrations, genotoxicity, heritable defects, sex ratio changes. There were sex ratio changes in uranium miners' children. As long ago as 1960, this was published by Müller. Inhibition of wound healing, lung inflammation, fibromas, immune system damage, blood effects, leukemia, lymphoma, and other effects in eyes and cardiovascular system. Uranium appears to have a powerful genotoxic effect which is associated with every single organ in which it can accumulate, which is most organs in the body. Now, why is this? How can it be when this substance is so weakly radioactive? Now, what I have to tell you is the kiss of death for this project, or should be. And certainly it will make this project amenable to challenge in the court, and this challenge will succeed. Because the cause of this anomalous uranium genotoxicity is an overlooked effect. It's an effect which is perfectly obvious on the basis of basic physics, but it's been overlooked and nobody has drawn attention to it until recently. It's photoelectron enhancement of external natural background radiation. This effect focuses external natural background gamma radiation straight into the DNA through absorption of the energy and its re-emission as photoelectrons. This effect has now been published in the peer-reviewed literature, and it's been even patented and used for cancer radiotherapy, but so far it's been entirely ignored by the risk agencies.
If you wish to survive, you need to cultivate a strong mental attitude.
One of the most pernicious habits of thought, pieces of propaganda we hear all the time, is technology is neutral. Well, I'm here to tell you technology is never neutral. Technology always represents power, power over something. From the hammer to the nuclear bomb, it represents power. And the question is that power appropriate? And what changes does that power make occur wherever that technology goes? Let me give you an example. Okay? Let's talk about the conservatives' favorite, nuclear power. What do you get along with a nuclear power plant? Is it a neutral technology? What do you need to build it? A lot of water. That's right. What else you need? Lots of uranium. Military elite, you bet. What else? A lot of money. Brings us right back to our friends at the World Bank, doesn't it? It has to be a huge capital investment. You got to get it from somewhere. What else? Right, scientific elite, you need your engineers. Yeah, you got some kind of, you got to waste, get rid of the waste somehow. Barry Common always used to say building a nuclear power plant was like building a home without a bathroom. People are going to argue forever about where that stuff's going to go. And the U.S. Congress is still arguing, by the way. So when you get a nuclear power plant, what kind of society are you going to get? Let's count it up. One that requires huge capital investments, exhausts its resources. You have a military elite. You have a scientific elite. You have massive bureaucracies, right, for safety, for energy dissemination. You've got a technocratized, technologized, elitist society. And what about the citizen? All right? What about you and me? Now, we're sitting here, okay, let's all get together on one huge conference call. It's called Washington Power, and we say, you know what? We've taken a vote. We all oppose nuclear power. We want to make absolutely certain that the energies that's coming into this building during this very important meeting is not coming from Calvert Cliff's nuclear power plant. So stop it right now. What would the response be? Probably massive laughter. I just got this call. You can't believe. Because not only does this impose a technological and totalitarian infrastructure in a society dominated by military elites, scientific elites, and bureaucracies, it completely disempowers the citizen. You have no power. Ethics 01, can you take responsibility for this technology? No. Can it be responsive to you? No. And when you build your entire society out of these technologies, it's ludicrous to call yourself a democracy because you have a complete totalitarian infrastructure. You say, well, I'm not so sure of that. Well, go to work. Because what does this do to work? The vast majority of Americans don't work in a democracy. They work in a totalitarian state. Whether it's a corporation, whether it's a bureaucracy, they work in a totalitarian state. To the worst case scenario, I told so. What about Indian Point? You know the bad guys case the joint. We told you so. We told you so.
Nuclear power is one hell of a way to boil water.